Then we're going to turn it over and give you the time for questions. And what we can see here is that Sally is going to be our first questioner, it looks like, and then Susan. So go ahead, Sally, and would you like to make your first, have the first question?
Yes, thank you. I want to know, all right, first of all, for the last several years, I have really been struggling with respiratory issues, asthma, so forth. And yes, I'm getting various treatments and support, including established medical things. But I find that I physically cannot interact or go out very much like I used to. And therefore, my interaction with people is quite limited. And I am not happy about that. But anyway, what I've ended up doing, I wonder if the fact that I do in meditation and so forth and visualize better things for the world and for others and so forth, is that enough? I don't know how else I can do more.
We want to, first of all, acknowledge your, physical limitations as we could everyone here, including the channel who's been wearing a mask all week, the few times he has gone out. We just want to hesitate to say, to comment on your phrase, is it enough? Because notice how quickly you can jump into shame if somehow he said, no, Sally, it's not enough. Okay? It is, if it's the most you can do with the greatest intention, then it is enough. If you can be inventive, creative, artisaneer, right? And say, you know what? I'm going to wear a mask and I'm going to have a couple of friends over for tea. We'll only do it for an hour. Or I'm going to call up Susan and we're going to chat. Or I'm going to go to, and just give myself a half hour to go sit at the park. Those kind of things where you minimally tax yourself and you take precautions. We think you'll find your vibration will compensate for your physical limitations in some very real energetic ways.
Okay, thank you.
Certainly. I hope that answers your question. Okay. Thank you, Sally. Susan, you want to go next?
Sure. Hi, Michael. You indicated we're going into an artisan
recording in progress.
Whatever that was.
It's the artisan year, ladies and gentlemen. We're glad we have this transcript, because what I just discovered is somehow during the course of this, the recording was on pause.
Oh. Well, we've got a transcript. You okay?
Yeah, fortunately, and I've been saving it thanks to those of you who have been prompting me. By the way, welcome, James. I think this is the first time you're at one of my fiascos. I mean, presentations.
Thank you, Stephen. Great to be here. Thank you.
All right. So go ahead, Susan. Please continue.
Can we get this out here? All right. So we're going into an artisan year. And you mentioned that there's going to be continued disintegration. And then you mentioned rebuilding. So I'm wondering if you could share with us where the biggest disintegrations and rebuildings might be occurring this year in relation to institutions, like organized religion or governments or what have you, and in which countries?
All right. Well, that's a tall order, but we'll do our best. Okay. All right. So first of all, in terms of, the tearing things down, breaking things down, this first year is going to be the fiasco of watching the new administration trying to attack and dismantle as many of federal institutions as are there. And we said trying, because here's the good news. When you have Artisan Energy against Artisan Energy, it's always a humorous fiasco. Because, and when you have Warrior Cast Artisan Energy, then you can see there's a lot of intimidation, a lot of feather fluffing, you know, going around. Some have predicted, you know, more violence and argument. We actually think that unlike aggression mode, which also can be very assertive, like power mode can be, we saw aggression last year. In a lot of areas, and you know, in both ways that it broke out, but we don't see it as much this year. The incidents of violence that you saw just in the last few weeks, whether it's you know Luigi Mangione or the trucks you know blowing up or running over people, they're going to continue to happen even though this is not predominantly a violence year now. Coming back to the point, okay, so those are the major institutions. Corporate institutions and governments that we see on the brink. We actually see the Russian Federation and oil prices in the world actually being really unstable. Really unstable. And why this is significant is because the two are interactive. That is to say, oil as a fundamental underpinning of your economic systems has largely been held in place because of the collusion, mind you, of the United States and Russia as the two biggest oil producers, right? Because they are bigger than OPEC, even if OPEC maybe gets more press than they do, or at least it once did. OPEC has a lot more dependent governments. And so if there is an oil price collapse, why that's significant is that, first of all, on a consumer level, you will see a lot more people go, yay, Donald Trump supported us and, you know, lowered prices for a little while. What it'll come home to roost for them will be the falling dominoes of a lot of jobs and currencies around the globe destabilizing. And with those destabilizations then having the effect of people seeing other consumer items and other areas of their things like their 401ks, just the prices go up and their 401ks come down, which, by the way, we will actually do something a little unusual. And that is to say, according to the energies as we read them, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we would suggest to most of you who are successful at or like to play in stocks and bonds and, you know, all that kind of thing, we would tell you that the kind of energies that are present usually lead to very erratic markets. And so for those of you who like to manage your funds or know how to do it, we would say hold on to your cash for a while or take some more out and put it in as safe of instruments as you can, at least through 2025. Granted, you may not make some of those spiking big interests, but most of the people who are making money on those anyway are on those top two levels of the pyramid that we showed you. And many of you are not going to necessarily get anything out of that. We'll pause for a moment. Susan, are we answering some of your question?
You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, very good. In the United States, some of the rebuilding that we're seeing is this real robust, energized, albeit for now reactionary, but still really, really enlivened. What's the word I want to say? Kind of enlivenment and re-energizing of local and state smaller segments of government in the United States. What in outside the United States, particularly in South America, we think you're going to see really robust and, yeah, probably even socially very reactive. And they're prone to it anyway, because, you know, most of South America is pure passion mode. But yes, they're going to be really reacting to a lot of what goes on in their economies, which will be very dynamically, probably negative, contractive. So in the United States, these re-energized local entities. And why will they be? Because they'll be honing in on more local, small town, neighbor to neighbor kind of things. Now, why this is significant is you also see that group of people who, you know, we would have, that they call themselves the MAGA folks, you know, who thought that Donald Trump is their savior. Many of them are having cold feet because they're already seeing the ripple effects. And Donald Trump hasn't even taken office yet, but they're starting to see the ripple effects of, you know, the instability that he is, you know, he has ushered in. By the way, Joe's comment is illustrative, by the way, of when you get cynic, discrimination, and artisan, and emotional center all working together, it's called sarcasm. Snarky and sometimes bitter sarcasm. And we just want to point out to you folks, it can be very fun. But believe it or not, try and be as inclusive with your sarcasm as you can. Because otherwise, it'll trigger the kind of butting heads that many of you tried to avoid in the last year. Anyway, let's see, what else? So one of the things that you will invariably see is that the continued rise of the billionaire class. It's interesting. Chilean just said it. Ask the question about it. But the influence and the overt manipulation. In the case of Elon Musk, he represents something that's really sadly a reversal, and the first time it's ever happened overtly in American history, and that is that a non-elected person is being given actual power to make governmental decisions. Trying to not get confused with the trusts and the ultra millionaires of previous times in the Gilded Age. They had influence, and yes, they would pocket some, but they didn't have direct power like Elon Musk and this guy, Rami Vivekananda, or whatever his name is. And we apologize. We don't mean to sound particularly racist by mispronouncing his name. But those two men are literally beginning non-elective power. And that's a first in this country. And that represents a reversal in democracy, by the way. You don't have to stand for it. You don't have to lay down for it. And the best way to torment Donald Trump and the Republican Party is call them, you know, their stooges. Because Donald Trump hates his ego to be bettered by somebody else. And of course, he already is, you know. He already is getting beaten and beat up that by Elon Musk. So in any case, the whole technological realm will try its best. It won a victory just, you know, the other day after two decades, you know, with the striking down of the internet neutrality rules. The corporatization and commercialization, not to mention the increased censoring of the internet, you know, has now been sanctioned. So, Let's see, is there anything else we would add to this right now? Susan, more may come, but it certainly, that was an excellent question. We hope at least that's giving you some scope and some parameters.
Yes, and some of it is very positive, Michael. Thank you.
Certainly. There is a lot of room for new building, even as there is disintegration, and there's room for resistance. You know, that is just about making sure, that's what power mode in the positive pole is. So, all right, Richard, you're up next.
Yeah, so first, thank you. Very great, very inspiring. I took today, saw the sunset over a beautiful, city side. So I'm very inspired coming in here, and I got a lot of inspiration from things you were saying too. So there's a thing with the pyramid that we're getting to a point of basic physics. So the CEO got popped, by Luigi, right? But then everybody, for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, everybody got it. Everybody was like, well, it was Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren was giving testimony for like years, right? And then but everybody, it was Elizabeth Warren. He has money because they denied claim. It was a straight transfer of money. I mean, so it's so naked. It's so, it breaks down. Elon Musk is trying to get his immigrants by. I mean, it's we're down to the tectonic plates of governance, I believe. So there's a reason you have a bureaucracy. There's a reason that there's a rule of law. There's a reason, basically this is so consumptive that it can't stand. So there's a thing called the internal contradictions of capitalism. And that's when the gears, when you don't put oil in the gears, And, it's unfortunate. A lot of people get hurt. You can't beat the house. It consumes itself, and so we just, ideally we won't be consumed in it. Who knows? But yeah, but basically I guess rather than be afraid, it sort of changed to this is physics. This is just getting to be like physics. It's like, okay, this is beyond, like 50 guys own everything. And, it's the end of the, okay, this is what the system is. I mean, here we are, right? We're all like in this train station watching now. They got everything. Anyway,
is there a question? Is there a question with your commentary?
Yeah. So basically, no. So my question was in the dynamics of it, because the two top layers of the pyramid are basically consuming the base of it. It's not just like that the base. I mean, so the base is being awakened. So basically, my question being is there a dynamic of the top of the pyramid consuming the base, and what kind of a cycle does that set up? That would be my question, if that's the case.
Well, of course, the graphic image that you're mentioning is not a new one. That was actually put forward in the 19th century, and it's just been, redone. That's one part. Second part is that, the way the new labels on there have been added in comes from the book of a fellow by the name of Janos Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Galifianakis, yeah. forgot his last name. My apologies. But anyway, the point being is the only reason we're trying to just get this said is that you're talking about physics. Well, what the image also implies, just like anything that has gravity to it, when the weight, the sheer gravity builds up on top too much, it eventually collapses. Right. And so, yes, the collapses of these natures often happen, especially in empires. And there are competing empires of the Earth at this time, as well as social structures, which is that difference between government systems and corporate systems. That soul age transitions are very likely to find weakness and break down. And that's true of this, but it will take some time. And as we said in the fourth quarter overview, we said that whatever you guys came out of the end of the year will be what the trajectory you'll be working with the next 25 years. So all of these things are spanning a 25-year period. Mm-hmm. And people like, whether they're Musk or Putin and so forth, they are not either going to go away, but also they are not going to be bosses of the human race ultimately, but you will be seeing them prominently in the interplay of this. Remember that the dynamics of the artisan energy, that's for you, Richard. You, we realize you know our teaching from afar, but not necessarily an active interpreter of it. When we talk about the overleaves of these years, or overleaves in general, we're talking about energies that are showing the, if you want to use your physics, a state of either equilibrium or disintegration or, acquisition, in other words, motion. And why this is, useful to try and take your energy, your analogy, and utilize it and try and reinterpret the way we're doing, is to say that this is both the beginning of a very active period, and it is also the beginning of a very disorganized period. And some of what will happen is before things break down, things will build up. And, they will be, by doing a lot of the things that Donald Trump and his people and administration seek to do, or just even unleash, they won't be successful in all of them, but they'll still unleash them. And then the rest of everybody will be scrambling with them, and they'll be tripping over themselves and all of that kind of thing. And by the way, folks, when we talk about the artisan energy, remember, the artisan of all seven of the roles is the most dynamic because it has five channels of input. Now, when you're descending that onto the human race as a collective, it means that there's whole lots of competing ideas, some of them even very contradictory. And they get in each other's way and they trip each other up. And, this administration is one of the most incompetent in history, in every way. And so it will do more to shoot its own feet than most people will ever have to do to try and take it out. But the ineptitude of the system, capitalism itself, is coming to that crisis point because, and we had a slide there that we decided to skip over, is because capitalism assumes a closed and almost perfect interaction between production and consumption. And of course, the reality is that they both rely on the earth. And the earth is coming to the edge of its endpoint where it can supply all this stuff. And as soon as that reality hits everybody, no matter if you used every resource on the planet, it stops. It stops. Well, and then, while we don't see as yet Mad Max happening on the planet, that is the kind of logical end that it goes to without mitigating and without altering and so forth. I hope that answers some.
Sure.
But I've got other people.
Sure.
Thank you. Jillian, you were next, and then Angela.
I have two areas, but
when we you started to answer it when you were talking about it going into another 25-year period, and it seems to me that there's no short-term turnaround for maggots and others who are on the Trump train. I think that they may get disillusioned with him, but I think that that kind of anger and lack of productivity, I suppose, I think of them. But over the next 25 years, I won't be here. Most people here won't be here. But I think the thing that I look at is what led to the MAGAs. And a lot of it, from my perspective, is ignorance, that they weren't well educated in about government and a lot of other things. So if we could work on education for over the next 25 years in what comes next is one of my questions.
Excellent question. So what we would tell you is the best education that will come are from educated people who will turn to their neighbor and say, you know, especially when they're feeling scared and disgruntled, and say, you know, it's interesting. You know, there's a lot more information about how these things work that maybe you have or haven't considered. And of course, you'll know full well they haven't considered, because they were never. Since Reagan, there has been a systematic, in the United States, there has been a systematic destruction of cognitive stimulation. In other words, they have been training people, indoctrinating people more than educating them, unless you're at these higher tiers or unless you were some of those people who could self-finance through higher education. So many of your average worker and so forth, you are absolutely correct. They never got exposed to it, and they don't even know what they don't know.
Right. And the people who voted for Trump, the people who got information from their neighbors or from their churches, voted for Trump by 25 points. Mm. So it's like talking to your neighbors, I don't see as being.
And that's one of the things that progressively, that if you want to have some influence, is being civil. And one of the things we can say about the left that, you know, they may or may not have known from about themselves because it was invisible to them, is as a front, and we say as a front, not every individual in it, was pretty smug about, well, don't you see this? It's so obvious. No, it wasn't. They didn't, other than these folks couldn't see it. And they never dealt with the resentment, why these people, that how resentment turned, you know, or how their fear turned into resentment, turned into self-righteousness. And so it became, people met it with more self-righteousness on both sides. One of the deconstructions we said, and why we emphasized learning not to take offense, is just realizing that, you know, a lot of these folks are super emotionally reactive. And the only way to maybe even make small inroads is to be humane to the degree you can. And to the degree you can't, you have to be honest with yourself, saying, okay, are there places in me where I'm supporting some true principle, or is it my own emotional reactivity that's still in place? Because as older souls and mature adults, you guys can only deal with that. It's not about manipulating these other people. Then the next thing is going on with your life, living as good a life as you can, putting your energies in places that are working, things that are working. By working, we mean moving the goalposts forward, so to speak. because you to sit down with a blue collar worker and have an intellectual conversation about the construction of government, you're right. That's like going to be hitting your head against, you know, a brick wall. And so it's not effective. But, you know, being kind to those blue collar workers who are working at the supermarket, just, you know, hearing things and saying things and just go, must be scary. And, you know, and there are still ways we can change that or whatever. Efforts to just build the bridges rather than continue to erect your own walls. That is what's going to happen. Because we can tell you, Jillian, that the American education system is one of the institutions that's trying to be even further dismantled.
Right.
And the clown car of cabinet persons that this guy has coming in are going to do everything that they can to do that. Here's the irony, is that even though in some states and in some places they may get away with it, there'll be other places that they'll look at this with horror. And not even necessarily liberal places, but just places where they'll go, what do you mean, you know we're not going to get money for funding, the school lunch or things like that. People who depend on it, who aren't necessarily minorities, like in the white middle class, the white middle America or in the South, who are equally dependent. And you're right, they will be more than just disgruntled. They'll be in panic. And so being able to just say, okay, well, let's see, how do we go around and work around this? And that's the kind of thing that's going to help to bolster and at least soften the otherwise, kind of march towards, craziness. We can tell you that when MAGA won, there was a collective sigh of relief on their side. And by the way, we're talking about those three tiers. We wanted to use that pyramid as illustrative because there are two tiers of MAGA who are absolutely self-involved, self-important, narcissistic, egotistical, and absolutely don't care about the bottom. But those three tiers from the bottom, they do care. They just think that the old way of putting on blinders and going to the oversimplification binaries of the past is what the solution is, even though it's totally erroneous because they have been willing to be manipulated to believe it, and it reinforces and it at least gave them a sense of being okay, even while instinctively they knew their ignorance has been, holding them back and holding them down. So this is a long-term process beyond this year, but we're just, laying out a few things that will go on beyond this.
I have another question, but I'm willing to have people ask their first.
Okay. All right, so good. Then we'll go to Angela, and then we'll come back. Angela, your question next.
Okay. Hi. This is in response to some things that Richard was saying, and it reminds me of a question that somebody asked. What happens in a consumerist society when consumers can no longer consume? You have the people at the top, the Elon Musk, but as they love to drag wages down and not people what they're worth and fire people and replace them with cheaper workers, eventually it is collapsing because people aren't able to consume, and pretty soon they'll run out of money and credit and everything else, and then where do they go? I mean, maybe they don't care because they're looking at other areas of the world which may be coming up and have more money than we do. I'm not sure about that, but it's an interesting question to ponder.
When we can tell you that those kind of along this major parallel, certainly a lot of those outcomes are more probable, but they are not in any way the predominant possibility. Now, when you said there is a collapse under consumerism and a depression that will come of this, we agree, there will. It will probably be within this 4 years of Mr. Trump. But nonetheless, the process that you described is accurate. You can only have a capitalist society because you have a consumerist society. Now, one of the ways they'll deflect this, of course, is they'll ramp up and continue to use military industrial complex and the prison industrial complex as a way of augmenting both. As long as they have military goods to sell and therefore make a profit on, which would therefore also include computer technology and all the rest of that stuff, the upper portions will be fine. And then when you talk about enough workers, it is really interesting that there are still so many people who talk about, you know, human populations collapsing when we say there are way too many people on the planet anyway. Because what it's the mentality that's not being addressed, that under the young soul era of capitalism, the notion of create waste is not only a part of the system, it is a required outcome of the system. So when if you go and you look at all the waste that's being created, there's a lot of resources there that can be recaptured, especially human resources. But those have to be repurposed on a greater sociological level. That's what that repurposing under, you know, the discrimination goal can facilitate. On the sociological level, not the spiritual level, but on the sociological level, these systems usually have to go through collapse before they're reconstructed. And these persons have to lose power. Those systems then get rebuilt. Now, as far as what they're concerned about and so forth, we can tell you that Social Security is actually a lot safer than most of you could fear. Why? Because it is a place where people get their income and the income they use for consuming. Okay. A lot of social programs will, they'll privatize them so somebody else can make a buck off them, but they'll still be there for the simple reason because they'll be distributing some levels of money so that people consume the products from the people upstairs. And that will go on for some level of time. We can tell you the positive way that that happens are in those countries, that have universal basic income. Because when you cut away all the nonsense, all universal basic income is people having enough resources to acquire money resources, to acquire material resources, like housing, food, and transportation. Those are physical things that people need to survive, right? Money and the way it's been conflated, as we said in an earlier slide, is now way beyond the rationale and reality. And that is one of the learning processes that has to happen and the collapse that has to happen between the young soul era and the mature soul era for the mature soul era to build anew. Because humans have been presented with this question for well over a century. And then with climate change for well over 50, 60 years. And they've still chosen to go along with the comfortable. So the only other options are various forms of collapse. The powers that just got back in know that, and they're going to try and stranglehold everybody to keep it in place. And that won't last very long. That won't be successful into the future, but it has legs that historically have worked, at least for a period of time. So anyway, Angela, we hope that's, you know, responded in some way, and then we'll go back to Jillian for her second question and then ask if, go ahead.
One more quick question, and that is, will a draft be reinstated? Because
not this year. Not this year, but the probability that you'll have conscription again in the United States in some form by the end of this 4 years is a lot higher. And we'd say even probable. What will be interesting is when you see it being used actually, like they use it in China and in the Soviet Union, Russia, because Soviet Union is technically gone. And that is that it was a way of trying to regularize the entire population, but then also use it as a form of job training, let alone bodies to throw at a potential front. And in actuality, we would say as a process that can be very useful. That's what it were actually meant or stated to do, as opposed to a secondary or tertiary agenda. So complete? Okay. Jillian, you wanted to finish your second question.
Yeah. It feels like there's a devaluation of old people. Definitely there's been a devaluation of children. We're letting children die for gun rights. But for old people, I think that, I've listened to a number of conversations recently about that we should only really have productive people, that people need to be productive or need to not be here. And I wonder, like, about Social Security, which you've talked about, but also Medicare, which is being more and more privatized. But, there's a sense in which I definitely see what my daughter is, involved in analyzing, teaching, advocating around healthcare. And there's just such an inclination to not approve more and more things, and that are, and the conversations I have heard recently on television have been, I found shocking. It's like, well, people have to keep being productive. You can't expect people to retire at 65 or 68 or even 70 if they can still work. And if they can't still work, why should we pay for them? And my response, of course, is I've been paying into the system for 45 years. But anyway, just your thought, or Michael's thoughts.
Well, since we're the ones basically answering your questions,
we'll
come from our point of view. One of the ways that the grand contraction into the object-oriented acquisition mode of the end stages of the young soul era is to reduce any life. But now, finally, you've done it with animal life for God knows how many centuries. But now human life into commodities. To even name a human being as productive or not represents an example of what we spoke about earlier, that conflation of monetary worth to human value, or to values. And by values, we mean, if you will, spiritually important, held, aspirational principles or beliefs. Practice, real practice morals, not where some, policies and procedures get substituted for them. These are rocks out of the unconscious that have to be turned over and exposed and spoken out loud. And it doesn't mean that, again, you don't have to agree in advance. You pointed out one thing that's absolutely factual, and that's why it's going to be very interesting the way the courts and the places of arguing over intellect, because that's what the courts are, is they're essentially your collective mind rationalizing things, will play out, particularly over the next 25 years. Because even though right now, the conservative and Republican elements, appointed, have been very influential and basically closed their eyes and their minds, there was also a huge influx in other areas and other elections where they're not quite as rigid. And as conditions change, a lot of those ideologues will be realizing, oh, wow, this is more intense. And maybe I haven't, I can't stick to this line everywhere as far as that, what evaluation is, especially if it's my mom or, in your case, and almost everybody here, yourselves, right? But as long as that ugly side, an exploration of objectification, dehumanization, and monetization of, you know, human beings isn't brought out from, that's what's been operating all along. It has. It has been operating all along. It's just never been openly spoken to. And now, since, you know, the cork, you know, has been removed from any kind of filtering, let alone reasoning abilities, let alone, you know, evaluation, if the moral, so-called morals somebody holds, what the real tenets underneath them are. Yeah, don't start getting into facts. Anyway, the point being is it has to be vented, as ugly as it is, to be able to confront it.
Mm-hmm.
And how much that will take, well, you mean outside the United States, it's already taken on many levels. When you're talking about children and elderly, all you have to do is look to Gaza to see, you know, that all those people are fodder, you know. And it's not because they're necessarily children or old, but that rather because they're racially discriminated against and therefore, you know, the pariahs. But the fact that women and children, I mean, elderly and children aren't seen as having any extra value than the terrorists doesn't stop it. So you're getting that kind of by default, as an example. And the fact that you have not just the of child labor potentially on the horizon more and more, but also you have you know, children as homeless, and less programs to serve them and so forth. That and the same thing is true with elderly, you know, on the other end. Now, we would say this to try and help you all put something into perspective that is not social and it is not personal to you. The Earth as a collective living entity and the Tao wants to get rid of a lot of human beings. You are the scourge species here, ironically. And yet you are also the one that it is most curious about to see if you evolve. And one of the ways that it knows that if you evolve, you've got to have less of you consuming. You've got to have less of the crazies at the top, as much as you have, and we hate to sound pejorative, but it will, the so-called flotsam and jetsam at the bottom. And we don't mean that as beings they are any less, but rather from this point of view that you're talking about, worth and productivity and all that kind of stuff, let's also add in some humane qualities. Just their ability to survive in increased, you know, devastating climate circumstances and increased reduction of available resources to them, you know, a lot will succumb to this. Just like a lot of the people who are climate refugees around the world will succumb to dying.
Mm-hmm.
Even though your mainstream media is hardly reporting that at all. And will not start reporting it.
Well, they report it as people of color, essentially people from Africa or from the Middle East or places that are absolutely impacted by climate change, and that they are going into Europe and that's why there's disruption in governments there. I mean, that when people talk about us not having enough population, that we need to repopulate, people need to have more kids, they're talking about white people.
Yeah.
And they don't look at everybody as equal anyway. But, you know, when they talk about people leaving because of climate change, they're talking about people of color and they see them as unwanted. It's disgusting.
Yeah. And one of the things about the negative pole of discrimination, prejudice, bigotry, with a cynic year, is it's all going to come out as the ugly, dirty laundry that it is. And the importance for many of you to realize And it will make many of you react emotionally, volatilely. But what we want you to understand is, folks, get a grip on yourself for one thing. This has been going on a long time. It's just finally being flushed out into the open. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't necessarily make you feel bad. But what we are trying to say is, don't collapse under it. And don't pretend it's new. And don't pretend it's just happening, because it's been going on a long time. Now it's just much more naked to see. You can still, most all of you here have the luxury, the privilege of having enough education, enough resources that you can follow these kooky new age religions, as ultra religionists like to say about this, right? And we smile because obviously it's humorous and sarcastic. But still, you do. You have the ability. So you're in better shape, so to speak, on a lot of frontiers than a lot of people. And so many of you are not going to be feeling the overt effects, you know, immediately or directly and so forth. But you will see them. And what you can do is not hide from them, and also not dive into the kind of, again, rejection and condemnation of a lot of those folks who thought that was the best path to take and now are regretting it. They screwed up, no question. Don't have to forgive, don't have to forget, but you can forge anew if you're willing. And tell you, it'll make your lives easier. So, all right. So we hope that's been, we realize that there's a last commentary we want to make. We realize that many of you come to this in hopes of finding hope. And we want to tell you that there is hope out there, but it is hope, as we have said on several occasions over the last couple of years, there is hope in the actions you take. If you are looking to the outside world, you are being passive and reactive, and you are liable to go into despair. And as of tonight's talk, if you listened to this talk from a frame of reference like martyrdom, says, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I need to hear something positive, or, you know, or else I'll feel terrible. Then what you're doing is you're giving up your only power to at least affect your own reality. And in a, you know, I mean, isn't one of the biggest stated attitudes of, you know, self-help new age thought is, you know, you create your own reality. But we've already told you, we don't believe that. But you can create, or at least you can have impact and effect on what it is and how you feel about what reality is and how you go about, thank you, Terry, standing in your own power. And as the poet said, absolutely deny that you will not go quietly into that good night. And with that, we will say good night. And we will say our apologies for this recording not coming out, but at least we have a transcript and it's been saved. And unless, by the way, I guess one last commentary. Many of you who are familiar with this teaching know that the artisan energy of all the several roles in other ways of looking at it is mercurial. It's the trickster. It's the Hayoka. It is the, you know, potential for erratic. It's all those qualities. And it's not unusual that, let's call it what it is, you know, the channel was not paying attention and something clicked off and he didn't get to it. So ownership time, but at the same time, the fact that it happened in the first place is humorous in that it's an expression of the kind of energy we see in artisan, you know, ways of being and showing up. So with that, having said that, we will bid you good night and thank you all for coming. And at least, if nothing else, we hope that's been of use to you, even if tonight it hasn't been very entertaining nor particularly educational. So thank you again.
Thank you. And just to let you know, Steve, Mike posted that he did make an audio recording for it tonight.
He did? Well, that guy, how wonderful.
I'm in the technical realm. I'm supposed to do this kind of stuff.
See, Mike, see, now there is the beauty. There is the beauty of being that outlandish, kind of eccentric, and, you know, just wild card that the artisan could do. Thank you very much. If I can get a copy of that, I will certainly post it so that the people who, the good news is, by the way, all your questions and answers anyway, I also got recorded. It's just the main body of the conversation.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Steve. This was very useful. I found it very, entertainment is maybe a subjective term, because just the new information and helping to find a place where I know where my feet are and where the ground is, just it helps going forward.
And you're welcome. And thank you for that comment, Catherine. That's appreciated.
We entertain ourselves.
And as Terry mentioned, we are entertained by information. We scholars.
You know, yes, indeed. You know, well, you know, you're all old holes, as we love to call you. So you're just all ready and open to be poured into. So, all right. Well, thank Karen, and also thank you for that last little humor. That was great. Okay, everyone. Well, I guess if that's it, and we will say ta-ta, and in the next week, stuff will be showing up. And Mike, if you and I can contact offline when you get the, and I'll get a copy of that recording.
Sounds good.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.
I'm going to. Thank you, Steve. Yeah. Thanks very much.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thanks. Bye now.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.